So let's make the most of this beautiful day.
Since we're together, we might as well say,
would you be mine?
Could you be mine?
Won't you be my neighbor?
Anthem Lights, they have earned a alternating every other day status with Mr. Rogers, leading us into the best 5 minutes of, I don't know if it's your day or the day, Jason. What do we call this for people? Best 5 minutes of the day or of your day?
Well, I think if they spent the next, or I think if they spent, it would be the day if they spent time with us. And so, I mean, both of those are probably true.
The best 5 minutes of the day. There we go. The best five minutes of the day. You're getting up, you're getting your sleep out of your eyes, and you're like, all right, help me get started. These two guys on the radio, Mark and Jason, here on WWIB. I guess the first Earth Day was celebrated in this day in 1970. You know who started that?
I do not.
Yeah, Wisconsin's former governor and senator Gaylord Nelson.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There you go.
It's hard for me to believe that it was actually that long ago that it started.
I know it. Yeah. Quite a while ago. And one of the most, I saw a friend of mine, Susie Slota, had shared on Facebook yesterday. She was picking up trash in her neighborhood as an early start to Earth Day. And I remember as a kid, there was this public service television ad with a Native American with a tear running down his eye.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was so powerful.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
There we go. Something we could share from our childhood, even though I'm 8 years older than you.
Indeed.
All right, we're going to one of your devotions, Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus. But you have interesting things on your Facebook page you shared from Andrew Bauman about toxic positivity. We're not going there. We're not getting distracted with that, but maybe for another time.
Sure. And again, folks are welcome to follow along. I think some people would say I probably post too many things, but it's busy. And I think a lot of the things are thought-provoking. So.
Yeah. I mean, you're well-read. You're thoughtful. You know, you've been on with us every day for almost 4 months, and we haven't gotten tired of you at all. So there we go.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Hopefully you haven't gotten tired of us. All right.
Not so far.
I think, according to my playbook here, we're up to John 13:36, right?
That's right. And it says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward. So Jesus had just given his disciples his crucial command to love as he loved. He wanted them to practice love after he left. And yet now we find him unconcerned about the nuances of Jesus' command to love, because he was worried about where his friend was going. Peter could not have cared less about theology at the moment. He cared that his friend was leaving. Jesus was not an abstract concept to Peter. He was flesh and blood. Jesus was Peter's best friend. Without giving away the next several hours completely, Jesus told Peter, I have to go this alone, friend. As hard as it is to understand, I must go by myself. Like Peter, I think we can miss the importance of isolation to Jesus' mission. He would go to the cross feeling isolated from his friends and from his Father. As excruciating as the cross was physically, this relational isolation would be far worse. Jesus also knew that Peter would give his life for the sake of the kingdom, not immediately, but later. Jesus called his followers to come after him, regardless of what pain the journey might bring. For some, it was martyrdom, and for some, it was rejection. Each of us must grapple with the interplay between right understanding and right relationship. It can be good for us to understand theological nuances, but theology is meaningless apart from our relationships with him.
That's interesting because theology, I mean, people say, oh, I'm not a theologian, but once we hear theology, the study of God, I mean, to one degree or another, we all are, even in the most amateur sense, right? But I mean, there you're ultimately saying, it seems like that it's the practical, the real, the living it out that was essential to Peter.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I can attest for me, I spent a lot of time studying theology, and it was a matter of gathering facts about God. I really liked to know things about him, but it wasn't really mapping on my day-to-day life. And I think, you know, each of us has to kind of grapple with those more deeply meaningful things. And at this season in life, it's a time, I think, when a lot of us are grappling. What does relational isolation look like? How did Jesus experience that? You know, and so I think Jesus is the most practical person we can follow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as though our understandings of God are to be disconnected from our day-to-day life. They have immense practicality.
I got to tell you that, I mean, it's interesting, coming in the heels of John 13:34 and 35, the mark of the Christian, love one another as I have loved you. I mean, for me, this pandemic, one of the things that's heightened, I mean, a deeper dependence on God, like things are out of control. Like God is, you've got to trust in the Lord. Like, yeah. And then secondly is just the importance of other-centeredness just for your own sanity. I mean, that's where what we were intended for. So we think about like crabs, one of us more, a different kind of happiness, which should have been called a battle for a better love. But the idea of other-centered love is just so good. And that's where life opens up, right? And that was Jesus's message in the preceding verses for Peter here.
Right. You know, and I think particularly during times of stress, we may have this tendency to turn in to ourselves rather than continuing to think about, boy, how can I love the people in my life well?
Exactly. Perfect note to end today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Jason.
Sounds good.
First Cup with Hillary. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, you know, I was thinking we could talk about how we were just talking, I think, yesterday about the you and I and Caleb keeping in touch.
Yes.
With each other, keeping connected, Facebook messaging. And so I shared a joke, or it was this kind of this Facebook picture of somebody like, I've got enough eggs for the safer at home. And it was Reese's peanut butter eggs.
Yes, it was massive amounts of Reese's peanut butter eggs.
Right. And you made some comment about, I need some partitions.
I need more of them because, you know, Easter's over and, you know, and they're better than the Reese's peanut butter cups. Okay. They're just better. The eggs are better.
Maybe they're a little bigger.
It's the peanut butter to chocolate ratio. Anyways.
I thought you were referring, your initial comment, I thought you were referring to holders for the eggs.
Oh,
but you meant the eggs.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I said, anyways. Well, I was picking up a prescription for my daughter at Walmart. And you said,
hey, you're at Walmart. I need 11.
Could you get me some Reese's peanut butter eggs if they got them? And how about 11
for my
daughter?
And how
about
11? So, no, I get home from work yesterday morning and Alyssa looks at me and says, Mom, I need a lemon. I'm like, I got no lemons, kid.
Yeah.
No, I got a school project. I got to do something. And I need the zest of one lemon because it's a cooking thing. And I said, when do you need it by? Thursday. I'm like, well, I'm not going to the store because COVID limiting. I got nothing. So then when you're like, I'm already out of store. Hey, man. Hey, friend.
That's right.
Hey, bud. Would you grab me a lemon?
There
please?
We go. And you know, Walmart's just a little store. So, you know. Able to
walking
track
is
that
good
down.
For you. It's extra.
Yes, yes.
Mark,
unfortunately,
I so appreciate that.
They
lemon.
Were out of the eggs, and I did the personal delivery. Today.
You did. I didn't expect. I thought, he'll leave it on my desk at work tomorrow. She'll have it by tomorrow. No, I'm taking a nap on my couch. My doorbell rings.
I know myself well enough that if there was any way to somehow not get it here, that would have happened. And it did occur to me, there's a good chance she's sleeping because you were kind of tired yesterday.
I was. I was totally taking it. So I was like, who's here? My hair was all like wonky and stuff. I'm like, whatever. I'm answering the door. Hey, it's Mark.
And we already work with each other. So I wasn't, I don't think, violating.
Yeah, no.
There we go. It's all good.
It is all good.
All of that to say, the really exciting thing.
Oh.
Becca.
Yeah, Becca. Yeah.
She was on a Facebook Live with State Representative Jesse James last night of the 68th Assembly District. And
she's
in the Leader Telegram today.
She is. Should I just read the headline?
Sure.
Altoona 7th grader gets teacher parades okayed.
Yeah,
that's right.
Great.
My daughter passionately wrote a letter to the county health department about the mental health benefits of teacher parades in our area for the students and teacher and community at large. She brought up a lot of really great points. And the Eau Claire County Health Department has reversed their standing and they are allowing teacher parades.
Teacher parades.
Teacher parades. Yeah. Not other parades, and but teacher parades.
She was in. We'll try to play some of the audio from her interview with Jesse James in his Facebook Live last night because she did so well.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a seventh grader who's well beyond her years.
Yeah.
So Congratulations.
And can I say the picture in the paper? She's proudly sporting her Altoona Music sweatshirt. She's looking good there. Altoona Music, represent.
You are bursting with mom pride today.
I am. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Good.
And I have coffee, so it's caffeinated mom pride.
Fantastic. Thank you. It is, by the way, Earth Day, 50th anniversary, Bookmobile Day. What do you know? Jelly Bean Day. I think my dog was celebrating early. And Administrative Professionals Day. Thanks, Hillary. We'll get you after 7.
Thank you, Mark.
I mentioned that earlier with First Cup after the 6:30 weather with Hillary, we were talking about messaging and how good of friends we've become. She was like, hey, as long as you're at Walmart, pick me up a lemon.
So, Caleb, you were part of that online conversation yesterday when I was like, hey, buy me a lemon.
Yeah, and Reese's peanut butter eggs.
He didn't find those. Do you know he delivered that lemon right to my house?
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I kept 6 feet away.
Well, I mean, everybody needs side hustles, so.
From the street. No.
Well, I thought this is what grocery delivery is like. But anyhow, so being there with the mask, so I had my mask on, and for whatever reason, the Lone Ranger's coming to mind. I know he covered his eyes, but anyhow, I just wonder, proper procedure, is it nose and mouth covered both?
Yes.
I think so.
Right.
Yeah.
It absolutely is.
But then I put my glasses on to trying to get the GoodRx prescription to help with the cost of the meds, and all of a sudden my glasses are steaming up, and I'm like, okay, so how do you handle that? You know, and I'm like, okay, see it as best I can. So there's different challenges with this.
So I'll say masks that have the metal nose piece that really snug on your nose, those are better at preventing the fogging of glasses. But that's what a lot of these healthcare workers are dealing with when they're at work all day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
See, I don't have anything like that because I started wearing my mask last week, and it was because Lindsay found the mask out in the garage because we had purchased some of those, I don't know, 95-cent jobbies from Menards for a painting project or something. And basically what this is a coffee filter with a little elastic staple to it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's very, very simple. It's like a dollar. And I'm going into these stores, going into Woodman's and such, and I'm seeing all the people with their nice, handmade or ordered from online masks. And I started feeling very self-conscious about mine. It's when you...
Mask envy.
Yeah. Or when you start pulling into a parking lot and it's like, wow, I've got my 18-year-old rust-beaten minivan with duct tape holding up to me, and I'm pulling in between a Lexus and, a brand new whatever. I started feeling really self-conscious because, again, why am I wearing the mask? Not for comfort, certainly, and not really because I'm scared of anything, but on others' behalf.
Yeah, right.
I wear a mask because, of helping those retail workers and the elderly and frail and all those who would feel better seeing people using that safety precaution. But I started feeling, again, really self-conscious about, how shabby my mask was compared to everyone else. And I was like, for crying out loud, we're in a pandemic, hopefully coming out eventually. But here I am still fear of man, right? Where it's like, oh man, well, I wish I had a better mask. I wish, and so many things. Don't we just compare ourselves to others?
Yes.
What I drive, what I wear, how big my house is, and all these things. It's a mask,
right?
It's a mask during a pandemic, and here I am comparing myself to others. So,
it's a good time.
I'd hope to say that, I've learned that lesson about being content in whatever circumstance, but it's an ongoing, that's why Paul called it a secret, right? Being content in every circumstance is something that we need to grow into as believers. So I'll keep on wearing my cheap mask and see if maybe I can make one.
I'm gonna make some more here pretty quickly. So maybe I can hook you up with a quality homemade mask.
There you go.
Good time.
It's like that song from True Server with Jesse Hamble. We all need to take our masks off, right? So often, if there's ever a time to be vulnerable and be who we truly are, it's in times like these. And maybe it's something that should and could stick around after all this is over. So popcorn.
Hot diggity. I love me.
I just bought some yesterday.
Yes.
Did you?
Now, have you ever had that happen where you pop some popcorn and there's all the kernels that just do not pop? And if you're like me and you don't just take kernel by kernel, but you snarf it by handfuls.
Yeah.
Then
it's a problem.
Yeah, it is. Now, science has come to the rescue to tell us why some popcorn kernels don't pop. It's long been known that they have to have a precise moisture level in their starchy center, about 15%. It's long been known. It has long been known by folks smarter than I that popcorn kernels must have a precise moisture level in their starchy center, about 15%, in order to explode. But The Boilermakers, Purdue University researchers found the key to a kernel's explosive success lies in the composition of its hull. Unpopped kernels, it turns out, have leaky hulls that prevent the moisture or pressure buildup needed for them to pop and lack the optimal hull structure that allows most kernels to explode. This is why we need to get people back to school so we can learn more things like this.
Leaky hulls, not just a problem in boats, but in popcorn.
Here's one of the challenges, though.
We need those collegiate researchers back.
I got the microwave popcorn yesterday, and so... say Orville Redenbacher, they had a deal. Nice. And so you put it in as the buttered microwave movie kind. Anyhow, you press popcorn, right? If it's got that button, you go for it. But not always perfect, right? There's different microwaves.
So
you've got to follow. I think at work, we've got a different, the other job at One Source, they have a different microwave. So if you put it in there, you've got to immediately afterwards add on
a little. Yeah. You know, it's funny because our microwave has a popcorn button that has different settings for different size bags, whatever. So you got to push the popcorn button. You got to push it twice, okay? But for my husband, that's not good enough because when you push it twice, you get like, I don't know, a minute or 2 minutes, whatever, and 49 seconds. My husband's like, no, do not use the popcorn button. First, you push power, then like... blah, blah, blah. And he heats it for like 4 seconds more. I'm like, it's
you know what the
four.
Hardest
you get
thing
it just right, though.
He's
you
like,
get
no,
it
the 4 seconds makes it. I'm like, it's, I'm just going
to
hit
the hardest thing
back.
In the world to do is to explain to someone else the eccentricities of your microwave because you know exactly and intimately how to use that appliance.
For popcorn and then even...
the same could be said for dishwashers.
Getting your beverage the exact temperature you want. I mean, I drink a warm mocha in the morning. I don't want it too cold. I don't want it too hot.
You're like
I guess
the baby
it's kind
bear.
Of a, it's kind
it
of like
right.
a Goldilocks thing,
Goldilocks,
I guess.
Yeah.
Is, don't you resonate with that at all?
I mean, a little. If it's too hot, I just like let it sit for a minute.
Right.
If it's
you don't
want to
burn your tongue.
If it's too cold, I just heat it for an extra 30 seconds.
I'm same thing just with, scalding my roof of my mouth on so many things.
Same thing with the popcorn, though, and I'll wrap on this. But I mean, just the idea that you don't want to have all those unpopped kernels.
Right.
Yes.
But haven't you ever aired on the other side and then
and
burned
then burnt it?
It?
Yeah. Oh, I hate the smell of burnt popcorn. Have you ever met somebody that likes burnt popcorn?
No.
There are people out there that like, oh,
burnt
no, I like
popcorn?
It a little burnt. I like it a
really?
Little burnt. Yes.
Oh.
I used to work with this person and I was like, the rest of us don't like your burnt popcorn
yeah, right.
smell.
Follow up for another time when Caleb burned a whole batch of grape popcorn at Camp Fairwood in Westfield. That'll be a random story for another time.
Can't wait to hear that one.
So sometimes our off-air discussions make their way on the air, and sometimes they make their way on the air in a kind of a big bangy type of fashion. So this is what's been going on. Hillary was very, very excited and very emotional, too, when there was a parade, an in-vehicle parade of Altoona teachers, and I think maybe it was teachers and staff the other day, too. And you were saying just how much it meant. And again, a recently elected member of the school board. This is something, I mean, you're so tied in with your Altoona community and your school community there, railroad or territory. And so it came out in Eau Claire County recently. They were saying, you know what, for public health, we are going to disallow or ban, if you want to use a stronger word, parades like this. And so your daughter, seventh grader, Rebecca Roth, said, you know what, that doesn't sit quite well with me. And rather than saying, I'm going to whine or complain, she did what every good Roth does, and she tried to change her little corner of the world. So she wrote a very well-reasoned, persuasive essay and sent it to the Eau Claire City County Health Department. Also sent that to the opinion column, I believe, of the Leader Telegram.
Yeah, she sent it to the editor. And can I say, like, so Becca was so disappointed, and I just looked at her and I said, so what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
You can do nothing, or you can write a letter. And I did not help her with this letter. She called Grandpa Wayne to say, Grandpa, what do you think of this? And it was my dad. Like, this wasn't me. This was truly this child.
And so, as so often happens when concerned citizens take action of any age, things happen. Mm-hmm. Things change. And so the City County Health Department in Eau Claire recently came out and said, you know what? For educational purposes, because again, Rebecca had reasoned and said, you know what, for the mental health of the students, for the teachers as well, too, being able to still be connected even while they're apart is very, very important. And we miss one another, and it's good to be able to see each other. And they said, you know what, we agree. We agree. And for this educational purpose, these parades, so to speak, in-vehicle parades will now be allowed once again. The Eau Claire Leader Telegram caught wind of this and did a story. You can catch it in today's paper. Uh-huh. Did a story on her. And then we have some audio here that Mark has curated. I believe this was, again, so Assemblyman Jesse James had reached out after this story and wanted to kind of interview Becca, correct? Mm-hmm. And hear a little bit more about her thought process. So this is from that interview.
A lot of kids right now at school, and the teachers too, really miss each other because teachers have a really big impact on their students, and a lot of times that's overlooked. And so the teachers started doing this project through Altoona where they would drive through the town in their cars and wave to their students and stuff just so they could see each other. But the event was banned because it caused things like unnecessary road travel. And my project then was to, I wrote to the county health department and I highlighted the mental health aspects of the project and why they should lift the ban.
Okay, and what was the response?
Well, they lifted the ban and it took a lot of discussion. They emailed me. I sent out the essay to them on Friday, and then they emailed me back yesterday. And they told me that after lengthy discussions, they had decided that that was considered necessary for the students and teachers.
So a win. It would be a win for not only you as a student, but a win for our teachers that love to take the opportunity to probably get out of their crazy house at home and get out and enjoy a drive to get away, and then also to make an impact on the kids that they teach by driving by and saying simply a hello through the window, waving at the kids.
So there it is.
There you go. So seventh grader Rebecca Roth, daughter of our own Hillary, making a difference. And again, a reasoned explanation, and said, you know what, this is why I think you should change your mind. And man, I love the power of a well-written persuasive essay versus yelling and screaming. Again, things didn't sit well with her. And so she said, you know what, I'm going to see if I can make a difference respectfully and peaceably. And I just love what she did. And you know what, she's all over the paper and getting assemblyman saying, hey, I want to interview you. Pretty cool.
Yeah. And my very favorite line from her essay is, how can something that brings people together and gives them hope be considered unnecessary? Love it. Thank you, Becca.
Wonderful job.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.